This is Radio Only,
the voice of the United Nations peacekeeping mission in Ethiopia and Eritrea.
Tune in to hear news on the peacekeeping process, HIV/AIDS, mine action, and on its humanitarian work and more.
Tune in to 21,460 kilohertz from 9 to 10 GMT hours every Sundays and Tuesdays from 10:30 to 11:30 GMT at 21,550 kilohertz.
We also heard on Radio Eritrea every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. and by visiting Omni's radio program on the website omnionline.org.
Welcome to this edition of ANMI Radio, the voice of the United Nations mission in Ethiopia and Eritrea. I am Stella Vuzo, and first the highlights. On this week's program, we have a press statement from the United Nations Security Council this week on the impasse in the Eritrea-Ethiopia peace process. We also have information on human rights activities in Mekele, Ethiopia, HIV/AIDS awareness campaigns in Addis Ababa, and an update on ANMI divining activities. On the 8th of May, the United Nations Security Council issued a press statement indicating that its members remain deeply concerned by the impasse in the Eritrea-Ethiopia peace process and the growing tensions between the two countries. The President of the Security Council, Zalmay Khalilzad, read the press statement, which in part states that
members of the Security Council once again reaffirm the integrity of the temporary security zone and urge both parties to withdraw immediately their troops and equipment from positions within and in proximity to the temporary security zone.
The Security Council press statement comes less than a week after the United Nations Secretary General, Ban Ki-moon, said that he would continue efforts to persuade Ethiopia and Eritrea to resume negotiations. Mr. Ban indicated that efforts to improve relations between Ethiopia and Eritrea can be successful only if both countries demonstrate the political will necessary to overcome the present stalemate. The President of the Council further stated,
members of the Security Council are encouraged by the statement that the Prime Minister of Ethiopia made to Parliament on March 29, 2007, that the Ethiopian government had accepted the final and binding decision of the Ethiopia Boundary Commission and demand Ethiopia to implement fully and without delay the EEBC decision.
The Security Council members reiterated their support for the United Nations mission in Ethiopia and Eritrea, ANMI, and demanded that Eritrea reverse without delay or preconditions all restrictions on ANMI's movement and operations. The Council called on both parties to fully cooperate with ANMI with a view to resuming the meetings of the Military Coordination Commission. In the 1990s, awareness of HIV/AIDS in Ethiopia was limited. Lack of awareness of how the virus is transmitted led to misunderstandings and heightened people's fear. As a result, many victims of the virus became social outcasts and were discriminated against. There were cases of landlords who were unwilling to lease their houses to anyone they suspected of having the virus. Many people were even afraid to shake hands or to use the same toilets as people who might be HIV positive. Since then, the United Nations and many non-governmental organizations, youth groups, and HIV/AIDS victims have worked hard to educate the public and to protect the rights of those who become infected. In our program this week, we take a look at how much has changed since the 1990s. We will look at the situation through the eyes of the victims and those who have campaigned on their behalf. Gwenet Melaku is a young lady in her late 20s. She has lived with the virus for more than 8 years. Due to lack of awareness in her community, Gwenet says she suffered unbearable discrimination after declaring her status publicly. Let's hear from Gwenet.
I believe many people know me because I have been teaching about HIV/AIDS since declaring my status. I think one of the things that motivated me to make people more aware of HIV/AIDS was the stigma I faced within my own family. I told my family everything because they started doubting me. After my child and I fell sick and my husband died, I was forced to leave my parents and come to Addis. After declaring myself, I have undergone many difficulties. The house in which I am living now is the 13th. At one time, I was teaching AIDS awareness at IDUR, a traditional funeral cooperative, and my landlady was in the audience. When I got back home, I found all my belongings outside the house. Another time, one of my landlords asked me if I was HIV positive. When I told him the truth, he asked me to leave the house.
Gwyneth says these are just a couple of her experiences as a HIV positive person. Mr. Ayele Lule is another HIV positive person who has been campaigning against the stigma that often comes or goes with HIV infection. Ayele is a 35-year-old ex-combatant who says landlords are among the main discriminators against HIV and AIDS carriers. He says he went through tough times when his son was HIV positive.
I remember when my son was alive. He was showing many signs of the virus, especially on his face. At one time, I was just settling into a new house when my landlady came running towards me and said, "Take this child to the doctor for an HIV checkup." She said, "These are the signs we saw on AIDS orphans on television. If you don't have the money for it, I will give it to you." I didn't reply to her. I started crying, and 3 days later, I left her house.
Those were memories typical of the old dark days for HIV-positive persons. What about today? Have attitudes towards HIV victims changed? We put these questions to Mr. Semenyu Abate, the program officer for the Dibab Lefituran Anti-AIDS Youth Association. Dibab Lefituran is a local non-governmental organization that has been campaigning to bring about attitudinal changes in the society towards people living with HIV and AIDS.
These days, people's attitudes towards HIV/AIDS victims have changed a lot. People dine together, play together, and have normal times in the company of HIV and AIDS victims. These problems are not as large as they used to be.
Gwyneth and Ayele agree that the situation has improved.
I observed some changes in my area. However, there are various forms of discrimination against HIV-positive persons. For instance, we are asked to pay 250 birr for a house that can be rented at 150 birr. Because people know us, they know that we can't find a house for a fair price in the same area. Our only alternative is to go someplace very far away where we are unknown. Of course, the hesitation of people to shake hands with me has changed, but big challenges remain.
Speaking from experience, I can say there is a change. For example, I told the landlord that I was HIV positive before renting my current house. Although there is a price discrimination against us, they lease their house knowing that my son and I are HIV positive. I believe this represents a significant change.
Among other changes that are noteworthy in 2007 is a reduction in the cost of the antiretrovirals, which are now affordable. Following campaigns by the Clinton Foundation, drugs that were only available in rich nations like the United States are now available to people living with HIV/AIDS in poorer countries like Ethiopia and Eritrea.
Previously, our main problem was discrimination. Now it is the reverse. You observe excess treatment for the people affected with HIV/AIDS. When a person meets someone who is HIV-positive, this person always talks about HIV/AIDS. They always tell the person to be strong, have a good diet, do exercise, etc. People always raise discussions like that instead of talking about other things like work and education as they do with others. This causes anxiety among the victims.
ANMI Radio says thank you to Ayele and Gwyneth who agreed to share their stories with us. ANMI's HIV/AIDS unit also works to increase awareness on this deadly pandemic in our region. Let's join hands in the fight against HIV and AIDS and support those who are burning the candle to give light to others. This is ANMI Radio, and after the break, we will hear from some students on ANMI's human rights training in Mekele. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights was adopted and proclaimed by the United Nations General Assembly in 1948. Resolution 217 addresses 30 fundamental human rights articles, including the right to life, to nationality and privacy, to freedom of movement, to a fair public hearing, and to protection from torture or cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment. According to the Human Rights Watch report for 2007, there are many human rights challenges in need of urgent attention in every country. Most national governments now work closely with the United Nations Human Rights Council. The Council was established on the 15th of March 2006 to address human rights violations across the globe. Human rights education is a crucial element in any peacekeeping mission. Today, human rights offices exist in each of the 18 United Nations peacekeeping missions, including ANMI. In September 2005, ANMI's Human Rights Office entered an agreement with the Faculty of Law at the University of Mekele in Ethiopia to begin human rights training there. Since then, more than 300 students have benefited from free training. ANMI's Outreach Center Coordinator in Mekele, Fatou Mansaray, met some Mekele University students who had just finished their training with ANMI. Here, she talks with Rahwa Mabratu.
What is the importance of this particular session to you?
The importance of this session is that it gets feedback of the former series that were held in the Diocese campus. They are intended at creating awareness of human rights to the general public or to the target groups, and it's a chance for us to express ourselves.
I know this is not the first time you're participating in such lectures. What impact do you think it will make on your studies and the peace process as a whole?
It will give the students a chance to be more aware, to be more demanding of human rights, and to be more contributing to the democratic system that we are following.
I am Fatou Mansaray. What's your name?
Jitu.
I noticed during question time you made a very significant contribution. Tell me, how important is this lecture to you?
In fact, I'm a law student, a certified law student. First, I've taken the human rights courses. And I know what in general human rights are, in particular as it's related with law and how it's implemented, how it's to be going to enforce it. You know, these courses are unique because, in first, the lecturers are coming from different parts of the world and they're lecturing the different experiences of their countries. They discuss all these issues. That's good for us because I'm going to one part and parcel of the human rights enforcement activities of this country. So they give you different information on what should be adopted in Ethiopia.
Coming up next is our weekly demining update in the temporary security zone and areas adjacent to it.
Demining.
The team responsible for clearing routes at the Mine Action Coordination Center continues to verify if there are any landmine threats in the riverbeds, roadsides, and minefields of Zalambesa area in Sector Center. The integrated demining capacity teams also continue to work in Egremekel minefield in Sorena Sector Center within the temporary security zone. The teams cleared 18 kilometers of road and an area of 18,504 square meters. We end our program this week on a sad note. ANMI lost one of its peacekeepers from the Kenyan Guard and Administration Company. He was 47-year-old Corporal Simon Muthengi Mutota, who died as a result of illness. He is survived by a wife and two sons. The force commander, Major General Mohamed Taisir Masade, paid tribute to him.
He's here and committed himself to his duties and responsibilities. He has also shown a great courage and professionalism. He has done his best to save this mission. He died as a good soldier and will always be remembered as well.
May the soul of Corporal Simon Muthengi Mutota rest in peace. Next week, we'll hear from ANMI's Force Commander, Major General Mohamed Taisir Masade. Until then, it's goodbye from ANMI. Thank you for listening to Radio ANMI's program.
Send us your views and comments to Stella Vuzo, ANMI Radio Program, Post Office Box 5805, Asmara, Eritrea. Or to Adani Kudina, Post Office Box 1357, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia.
You can also email us at vuzo@un.org or gudina@un.org.